Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you out there in that listening audience. We're going to take a look today and deal with the issue, the topic of depression. Many of us in this country were rocked this week about the death of a famous Hollywood comedian, Robin Williams, who had made so many great movies and touched so many people's hearts with his comedy and with his genius. And so we just pray for his family. We pray for those who were left mourning him, and we just praise the Lord that God has an answer for depression. I know that sounds a little bit simplistic. I know it's not a simple thing, and yet it's a very complex illness and a very complex situation. Everybody's life is different, but I believe the words in God's Holy Bible and in God's Holy Word can enlighten us and strengthen us and bring wisdom and understanding to how we can deal with this. If you're out there today and you're suffering from this illness and you've suffered for a long time, I want you to know, brother and sister, that God has an answer for you, that Jesus Christ has an answer for you, and I pray that you'll listen very carefully and take the admonition and take this instruction to heart, even though it may seem like a long road to come up out of the pit of darkness where you're at, even though it may seem like a struggle. And many of you may have been struggling for many years, even up to this point. And I say, don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't throw in the towel and say you want to end it all, that there is no blessing in that for yourself, no blessing for your family, no blessing for those who are left behind. And if you are dealing with depression to the point of wanting to give up and you're despairing to the point of wanting to give up, call somebody, talk to somebody, get a hold of somebody, even me. You can email me at pureprairie@hotmail.com and let me know, and I would be happy to come by and visit with you or contact you. And so in order to deal with depression, you have to take it head on and deal with the source of it and deal with the cause of it and then deal with the symptoms and make a conscious choice and an intentional choice and an intentional direction to change your life and to move towards God, who will give you freedom and give you relief from this issue. Well, I'm going to start today by reading some scripture from Proverbs, and I suggest you get out your Bible and read Proverbs. That's not the main passage of scripture we're going to look at today. The main one is from 1 Kings 19. We're going to look at the story of Elijah the prophet, but I'm going to read some scripture from Proverbs to start off, because in the book of Proverbs, Solomon had a lot to say about depression and about the condition of the heart and the condition of the mind and the condition of the soul and just the issues of dealing with life day after day after day. And King Solomon was the wisest man. He asked the Lord to give him wisdom. And so he laid out in the Proverbs many little jewels and nuggets of wisdom that we can use in our lives. And I just urge you to get out your book of Proverbs and study it. Read it over and over to get some of these jewels of wisdom down into your heart. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." And so that is a direct statement of what the Lord believes is the cause of depression. He says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." And so we know many people are burdened down with anxiety. Many people have placed their hope in their careers, or placed their hope in fame, or placed their hope in money, or in another person, that when these things are taken away from their life and these things are taken out of their life, then they have nowhere to turn, or they think they have nowhere to turn. And so when you let anxiety, and anxiety is fear of the future, maybe anger towards somebody, maybe anger towards yourself for being a failure or not living up to your own expectations or not living up to your own ideals for yourself, when that anxiety builds up, then it becomes a monster that takes over your life, and it'll grab you and put you down in a dark hole. And so anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Good word makes the heart glad. Well, where are you going to find a good word? You're not going to find it watching the newscasts 24 hours a day, or watching the Weather Channel 24 hours a day, or listening to some of your friends who have nothing but negativity or curses towards you, or curses towards other people. You're going to find a good word from God's Word. You're going to find a good word from picking up the Bible and seeing the hope and the blessings of the good word of the Lord, because God cares for you, He loves you, and that good word is always for you. It comes from the Lord. It comes straight from the heart of the Lord. The good word is Jesus died for you on the cross. The good word is He shed His precious blood for you, that God cares so much about you that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I submit to you today, Jesus is the answer, not only for our salvation and for our eternal life, but Jesus is the answer for our joy, for our peace, for our hope. And Jesus is the answer not only in this life, not only for this week and this day, whatever you're dealing with, whatever circumstances you have that you're dealing with today, but Jesus is the answer for all eternity. And Jesus, when you latch on to Him, when you reach out and say, Jesus, I want to serve You, I want to come to know You, I want to love You, I want to be at Your side, when you do that, then Jesus says, oh yes, I will be with you, I will never forsake you, and I will never abandon you. And so as you think about that good word that comes from the Lord, that good word that comes from God's holy word, it will strengthen you and it will encourage you. Well, Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Well, there's lots of secular ideas bandied about what is the cause of depression. Most doctors say it's just purely clinical. It's chemical imbalance, or it's not enough of the right chemicals or hormones or enzymes or vitamins or whatever. But I say to you today that primarily the understanding that God has for you is that depression is a state of your spirit and of your soul. And when your soul is full of turmoil and full of anxiety and anger and grief, and you don't deal with it in a proper and healthy way by taking it to the Lord and dumping all your anxiety and dumping all of your anger onto the Lord, you're going to stuff it down inside of you, and you're going to continue to stuff it down inside of you. And many have been convinced that taking drugs, and I've dealt with many people over the years who are on not just one, but two, three, four, five, six different types of antidepressants and anti-anxieties and anti for whatever malady they have been diagnosed. And I say to you today, if you will trust the Lord, He will take you up out of this pit of darkness. If you will turn your life over to Jesus, you will not need the drugs. You can slowly wean off of them. I'm not saying to just go cold turkey and throw the drugs in the trash. I'm saying that you can slowly wean off as you wean on to Jesus, as you put your faith, as you put your hope, as you put your trust in Jesus Christ. He will give you that peace. He will give you that joy. He'll take the burdens off of your shoulder, and He will carry those burdens for you. And as you do that, as you transfer your allegiance and your desire to serve Him and to know Him to the King of Kings and to the Son of God, He will set you free in a way that your heart will be full of joy. Well, Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. I would suggest you get into a fellowship. I would suggest you join a Bible study group, a small group, where you can unload on people your sorrow, unload on people your problems, your circumstances, whatever it is that is too much for you to bear. God will give you a brother or a sister that you can confide in. God will bring someone beside you who will walk with you and help you carry your burden. They will listen to you, and they will be a confiding and a consoling voice in your life, and a voice of wisdom and counsel. And this is God's will, that we not carry and we not be isolated to the point where we carry our burdens and carry our grief and our sorrow by ourselves. Brethren, get in a fellowship, get in with some other believers who have like-minded pursuits as you, and get in with them and find somebody that you can trust your secrets with and spill your greatest sorrows to. And I know God's will is that He will put somebody beside you, no matter how isolated you are, no matter how far down in the hole in that pit of darkness. God will put somebody beside you who will strengthen you, who will walk with you, and who will talk with you, and who will bless you by their presence. And if you can't find somebody like that, you just get down on your knees and you cry out to Jesus Christ. You say, Jesus, hear my sorrow, hear my cries. Lord Jesus, take every pain, take every burden. And if you have to stay on your knees all day and then get on your knees again the next day and do it over and over again, if you have to flood your pillow with tears, and I'm sure many of you have done that already, but God will hear your prayer. He will send somebody to help strengthen you. He will send the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, and you can come up out of that pit of darkness. Proverbs 15:24 says, "The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below." Well, suicide and death and destruction are hallmarks of the devil. Those are the devil's tools, suicide, death, and destruction. John 10:10, Jesus said to the disciples, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give you life abundantly." And so we know it's the devil's will to take you out. We know it's the devil's will to come against you and destroy your life, destroy your joy, to destroy your peace, your happiness. And he wants to bring anxiety into your life. He wants to bring death and destruction. And Jesus said, no, I want to bring you life, and I want to bring it to you abundantly. And so as you turn your life over to Jesus, as you cry out to him, maybe it's a reversal of a trend that's been going on in your life for many years, maybe even decades. But as you take little steps, don't make any agreements with the devil that your life is not worth living. Don't make any agreements with the devil that somehow you're not of any value to God or to your friends or to your family. Don't make any agreements with the devil that your life has no purpose, because I tell you, brethren, you were created in the image of God. Genesis 1:26, you were created in the image of God, and because of that, God has a purpose for you. He has a calling on your life. He has a destiny, and he wants to see that fulfilled. He wants to see you live out the length of your days. He wants to see you fulfill your purpose in the kingdom of God, not only just to bide time here on this earth, not only just to see the news reports every day or be able to function on some kind of a level, but he wants to see you move forward into your calling and into your destiny, to have purpose that when you get up each day, you're excited. You are excited. When your feet hit the ground, you say, "Thank God for this day you've given me to serve you. Thank God that this is another day that I can serve you, that I can rejoice, for this is the day that you've made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Well, in dealing with depression, I always look to the life of Elijah. If you have your Bible there, turn it to 1 Kings 19. And Elijah had just had a great victory on the with the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah, and he had slaughtered them on Mount Carmel. God had brought down fire and proved to Elijah and to the prophets of Baal that he was the one true God. And yet, in spite of that great victory, Elijah, in 1 Kings 19, verse 1, was running for his life. He was running for his life because Jezebel, the queen, the wife of King Ahab, she had declared that Elijah was going to be wiped out. She had declared death on his life, and Elijah was running for his life. We find here just in a short time after he had destroyed the prophets of Baal, after this great victory on the mountain. And isn't this true of many of our lives? We have a great victory. We're on top of the mountain. Maybe we've accomplish something great for the kingdom, or we just have a time of rejoicing and a time of of peace in our life, and then the devil comes at us, and he brings on the full onslaught against us, and the first thing you know, we're down in the dumps again, and we're down searching for answers of how we can find that joy, how we can find that peace, how we can get back up on the mountain, and that's exactly where Elijah was. In 1 Kings 19:1, it says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So in other words, Jezebel said, you're going to be wiped out. I'm going to pursue you, Elijah, and I'm going to pursue you to kill you, and I'm not going to rest until I get the job done. Well, Elijah, in verse 3, it says, When he saw that, he arose, and he ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. And then verse 4, But he himself, Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die, and said, It is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, Arise and eat. And then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because Elijah, the journey is too great for you. And so he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Well, there's a couple of things that we can glean from this story that we can see here. Number one is that we're all going to be attacked by the devil. There's going to be a Jezebel or an Ahab come into your life. If it hasn't already, get ready, because you are going to suffer an attack by the devil. If you're seeking the Lord, or if you're coming to know the Lord, or if you're even familiar with the Lord and just want to move in a small step toward the Lord, you're going to get attacked by the devil. The King Ahab, the spirit of Ahab, and the spirit of Jezebel, the destroyers, are the demonic spirits that are going to come after you. And if you don't understand that, get it down in your spirit that you're going to be a target for the devil. And so Elijah was running for his life. There had been a decree put out on him. And it says he went out into the wilderness and he asked that he might die. This is a common feeling. It's a common condition of mankind. You're not exceptional if you're out there listening to me today and you have feelings of depression and despair. This is a common condition of mankind. You don't have to run to get drugs. You don't have to run to find out what is chemically imbalanced in your mind or in your heart. You know from God that this is a common condition of man. That's why there's so many scriptures that speak to this condition. That's why there's so many scriptures in the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Psalms that speak about the despair and the disappointment and the place of darkness that King David and King Solomon and Elijah and Moses and many other of the servants of the Lord, they come to this place where they need to know, God, are you real? God, do you care about me? Do you have a purpose for my life? Can you show me that you're real? And I can assure you, brother and sister, I've been in that place. I can assure you that God showed himself real to me. He showed himself not only real, but he revealed his great destiny and his calling on my life to the point where my life has a great fulfillment, has excitement, it has anticipation, it has joy and peace. Yes, there's times when I still get down, but that is just a common condition that all men suffer, and you will be set free of it when you seek the Lord, which is what Elijah did. He lay down and after he cried out to God. In verse 4, he cried out, he said, Lord, I am no better than my father, so just take my life. And it says, then he just lay down and slept, and the Lord sent an angel to touch him, and he said, arise and eat. And so the Lord heard Elijah's plea, he heard his cry, he provided an angel, and I believe the Lord is going to provide an angel for you today, if you're out there today, and you're suffering from despair and depression. Maybe you've been betrayed. Maybe you've been crushed. The Lord is just speaking to some people out there today. You've been betrayed through divorce or just backstabbing and betrayal, and you don't trust people. You have a distrust of even in the simplest of circumstances, you don't trust people. But if you will cry out to the Lord, He will send an angel to guard you. He'll send an angel to comfort you and to nourish you and to give you strength to continue on the journey. Well, Elijah wraps it up in verse 10. He says to the Lord, he says, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, O God, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Well, there it is, brother and sister, in a nutshell. Elijah thinks he's all alone. He doesn't see anyone around him that cares about him or can help him. He thinks he's all alone. But I can assure you, brother and sister, God is with you. He's there with you today. He wants to walk with you. You are not alone. Although that is a condition, maybe you've had it for years, you are not alone. In Deuteronomy 31:6, God told Joshua, he said, "Be strong and courageous, Joshua. Be of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them." He was speaking of the giants and those wicked tribes that were in the land of Canaan, in the promised land. And God says, "Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you," or He will not ever abandon you. And so the Lord your God goes with you when you cry out for Him, when you submit to Him and just get down on your knees and cry out to Him and say, "God, show me you're real. Carry me, because I'm too weak to go by myself. I'm too weak to go on in my own strength." God will, He will send angels, and He will bake the cake for you, and He will feed you, and He will nourish you, and He will strengthen you for the journey ahead. Well, God spoke to Elijah in verse 18. He says to Elijah, "I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." And so Elijah says, "There's no one left but me." God says, "No, no, no. I have reserved 7,000 to come alongside of you. I have reserved 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to Baal, who have not sought to make agreements with the evil one." And so just as you think you may be all alone out there today, I say to you today that God has reserved 7,000 in this place, in this country, maybe even in this state, maybe even in this area. 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal and made agreements with the devil, and those 7,000 are standing with you in agreement that God's will be done, that His kingdom shall come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, God bless you today. If you're struggling with this issue, we're going to talk about it again next week. If you're struggling with this issue, email me if you'd like. I can pray with you. I can pray over your prayer requests, pureprairie@hotmail.com. And God's will is that you come up out of this pit of darkness, that every chain that is holding you in that pit be broken, and that you be set free. And so we're going to talk about that more next week. And so thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.